Sometimes younger people don't know what to call me. I say to them, you want me to feel old, call me sir. You want me to feel young, call me Bill. You want something in between, call me Errol.
My name is Caroline Duncan, and I'm a student in the Veterans Oral History Program, a joint project between the University of Victoria and the Royal United Services Institute of Vancouver Island. Today is Thursday, November 12, 2009, and I'm speaking to Rear Admiral Bill Hughes at his home in Victoria. Thank you so much for speaking with me today. As you know, the interview is being recorded on a digital voice recorder, and at the end of the interview, I have a release form from the university, which I'll have you sign, and that'll give the university the ability to make the interview available to researchers. 2010 marks the 100th anniversary of the Royal Canadian Navy, and I understand that you're organizing the installation of a stained glass window at St. Paul's Church in Esquimalt to commemorate the centennial. Tell me how the project got started.
Well, believe it or not, it's the fault of the Army. I was attending the dedication of a memorial window in Kingston, Ontario, which is my hometown, in St. Paul's Anglican Church there. The reason I was there is because the window was being dedicated to the Princess of Wales' own regiment and the 21st Battalion, which is what the regiment was called, when it went overseas in World War I. The reason I was there, my grandfather commanded both, Brigadier General William St. Pierre Hughes. So when I came back, I was telling my son, who's in the Navy, about this, and he said, Dad, what about the Navy Centennial in 2010? So I started to think about it, and I thought, that's a darn good idea. So I made a proposal to Andrew Gates, who's the director of St. Paul's Naval and Garrison Church, about the window, and he agreed. So we set up a committee. Can't do anything without a committee, as you realize, yes. And we had several meetings. First thing to organize, of course, was the finances. No government finances involved at all in this, and I didn't want any church finances involved, because churches, as you know, are having difficulty these days. So what we set out to do was to raise the money totally independent from any governments or the church. The second thing to do, of course, was to find how much it was going to cost and who could do it. So I looked around and discovered a fantastic firm called Mercer & Schaefer Glass Studios, who have done windows in most of the churches in Victoria, and in some in Vancouver, and some up island, Government House, the legislature. So I approached them, and we got a cost and sat down to raise the money. That took about 8 or 10 months. The window itself, here we are. Here's what started things out. That's the window in Kingston, Ontario. You can see on the left is the Princess of Wales on regiment. On the right is the 21st Battalion. And that was the program that they used at the time.
And this is what inspired you?
That's what got us thinking about a window for the Navy Centennial, yeah.
Now, what's the overall cost? You talked about raising money.
When you consider the overall cost, you have to consider cost of the window itself, the cost of covering the window with Lexan, because people throw stones at windows, believe it or not, and shoot BB guns and that sort of thing, cost of extra insurance, the cost of the church is 165 years old, so the woodwork needed extensive repair around the window. So then you've got the cost of all the publicity. You've got the cost of the initial launching ceremony and the final dedication ceremony, so the costs keep adding up. So you've got to make sure you've got a reasonable cushion. There is the window itself, and you can keep that if you wish.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You can see it's a very large window consisting of four panels. Altogether, it's about 10 feet high and about 10 feet wide. And already existing on top, you can see a gorgeous anchor, which will remain as is. We don't touch that. But that's a fitting connection with the naval past. The church itself was started for the Royal Navy in 1865, I think, around there. And originally was located down near the dockyard. in 1904, because of the damage being received by the salt air, it was moved up to its present location, which is about, I suppose, a kilometer or two from where it originally was. So,
the church part of the diocese, the Anglican diocese?
Oh, yes. Yep. So here's the two examples of the type of thing that I sent out to about 600 people across the country and down in the States and around the world.
So you have a brochure here
you
made up?
You can keep those, yeah.
Thank you.
The committee that we set up consisted of some retired naval officers and some representatives of the church. The curator of the Naden Naval and Military Museum. That sort of expertise is what we wanted. And we've had, I suppose, a dozen meetings over the last 2 years.
Is it all local support?
No, we've had donations from Northern Ireland. We've had donations from Scotland. We've had donations from 5 of the United States states. And we've had donations from ocean to ocean to ocean in Canada. One of the people that I sought donations from, one of the groups, a number of ships are named after Canadian cities. So I wrote to every Canadian city that has a ship named after it and to see who would respond, and many of them did respond, that sort of thing. Took a lot of digging to try and figure out who I should aim our publicity at. Our main purpose was to get many, many small donations representing a broad representation of people, as opposed to getting one or two big companies that were going to pay for the whole thing themselves. I didn't want that. I wanted lots of people interested in contributing. And as well as contributing, you could also state that you were contributing in memory of somebody or in honor of somebody if they're still alive. So underneath the window will be a book of remembrance, which will have the names in it of the people who made donations in honor of somebody or in memory of somebody. And it'll look sort of like this. This is just a rough draft.
Oh, yes, lovely. Have you found that many of the donations are?
Yes,
in
I think
of somebody else?
Out of the 370 odd donations, I think about 170 have asked to have names memorized or remembered or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Was there ever a different venue, a location considered, or
none
St.
whatsoever.
Paul's was the obvious
St. Paul's
choice?
Was just so obvious. St. Paul's Naval and Garrison Church,
yeah.
Close to the dockyard, 165-year association with the Navy. Lovely little church inside. Have you ever looked at the webpage?
I did look at the website.
Yeah,
yes.
You see all
that's
the plaques
right.
And
yes.
the windows
that's
and everything?
That's right, yeah, I printed
yes.
some of those off too.
Yeah.
And you're a member of the congregation there.
Yes, oh yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Have been for 4 years, I guess.
Right.
I started out in Kingston as a Presbyterian. I got married in the United Church, and now I attend an Anglican church. Of course, when you're in the Navy, you attend a whatever.
Now, tell me about the design of the window.
The design of the window has now been approved. The designers, of course, are the people who are making the window. They've been in business for over 30 years. A stained glass window has to be very colorful. So you can't really put dull battleship gray ships in a window. You don't get any color that way. So what you do is you look for symbols. And the symbols that you look for are things like a ship's badge, which are always very colorful. So the window will contain ship's badges of the ships which have been very important in the 100-year history of the Canadian Navy. As well as symbols representing the wrens, the navy, the female members of the navy at one time, the divers, pilots, all sorts of people like that. They all have symbols representing them.
Was it difficult to decide what would be included in that?
Yes, I gave the designers a list of things that must be in the window, and a list of things that would be desirable to have in the window. And we had a lot of to-ing and fro-ing over the month. But I think they've come up with a fantastic result. When we made the presentation to the bishop of the window, because we have to get approval of the committee, of the diocese, of the bishop, his remark was elegant. And I thought that summed it up rather nicely, elegant.
Tell me more about the themes that you wanted to include in the window.
Themes.
You talked about the wrens. You wanted to include women.
Right.
And what about other groups that...
Well, what we wanted to include was we wanted to make sure that we included our reserves, of course. Every reserve naval division, of which there are 24 of them, has its name somewhere in the window, for example. The 24 ships that were sunk in World War II, their names are in the window. And the one ship sunk in World War I is in the window. Things like that. So there's a variety of things in the window. Now, underneath the window, as well as the Book of Remembrance, is going to be another book, which is that one there, which will explain the history of how we did the window and an explanation of each of the panels so that somebody can stand and look at the window and turn this over and read about what that symbol means
and what
that symbol means.
Because often that information gets lost.
That's
and
right.
Over the years,
right.
people wonder, you know, why that was chosen.
Sherry Robinson and I are working on that bit.
Were there earlier drafts of the design didn't get approved?
Yeah, when the design was first presented to us, to the committee, which is a mixture of church and Navy people, that's when we made a few extra suggestions and alterations, and those are being included. But basically, 90% of it was so good that we didn't have to do much.
The company had a clear idea.
Oh, they're very good. They just did a window in a cathedral in Vancouver, a naval window. And we went over for that. And then as you watch the news, you saw that in the Christchurch Cathedral here, the window was being dedicated with the
Prince of Wales
there. That was their window. They did that window. Yeah.
Were there any controversies or differences of opinion when the window was being designed?
Not that I can remember. Nothing significant, no. No, suggestions rather than controversy.
So you worked well with the church, the church and the Navy.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Our pastor, Andrew Gates, I think he was 10 years in the Reserve Army. So he understands military things. He's a great guy.
And tell me about the intended audience. Who are you hoping?
Well, the audience will be, of course, the parishioners. Anytime there's a service, after the window is dedicated, we'll have some open houses so that the general public can come and have a look if they like. And of course, naval personnel will always be interested, and I would hope historians would be interested over the years. The location is such that I shouldn't think we'll get a lot of tourists visiting, but we might look for a program that includes... There's a lot of tourists that go to the naval base. They have a bus tour around the place. Perhaps they could stop off and have a look at the church.
And there are other memorials in the churchyard as well, are there?
Not in the church. No, there used to be, but then that disappeared. That was a memorial throwing the names of those parishioners who were lost in World War I, I think it was.
Right, and that's no longer there?
No. But some of the names are in the church, among the plaques.
Right. What are your expectations for the preservation of the window? You know, churches do close with dwindling.
Well, St. Paul's is a heritage church. It's given heritage status by the municipality of Esquimalt. So it may close, but they can't do anything with it.
The building would be protected and the window in it.
I'll tell you a little story. You can get this off the tape later. But there was a couple of years ago, there was a thought that five of the churches were given a bit of a warning about doing a little better. And our church was one of them. And the minister was being interviewed on radio, I think it was. And he talked about how he was going to improve things in St. Paul's. And the interviewer said, "And what are you going to do to help some of the other churches?" And he said, "Bugger all."
A bit of competition between the churches?
He is so dedicated to St. Paul's. That's what he wants to see succeed. But you're quite right. There's going to be some amalgamation, I'm sure. People don't go to church anymore. Too much going on Sundays. Kids are all playing sports. Stores are all open. Whatever.
And so the responsibility for the preservation will lie completely with the church and
the
diocese.
Oh, yes. Okay. It'll receive special insurance, the window. And if there's any money left over, it'll be put into a fund, which will go to the regular upkeep of the window. This is probably what the front cover of the dedication ceremony booklet might look like. Still working on it. Whoops. Excuse me a sec. And this may be possibly, I'm still working on this, the back cover.
Now, when is the commemoration
ceremony? The dedication ceremony is the 22nd of May next year.
And who will be invited to that? What will the event be?
We have about 100 odd invitations ready to go. The names have been selected. Anybody who made significant contributions that lives locally, and some people that, like some of the mayors of the cities that might want to come, that aren't local, that type of thing, plus a lot of retired senior officers who live here, and church dignitaries, the bishop, obviously, the local admiral, obviously, Admiral Pyle.
And the one that you attended recently, how was it done? Was the window covered and then unveiled?
No, the window was already uncovered. The dedication of the window in Vancouver was really just part of a Sunday service. It wasn't a special service. Ours is going to be a special service. It's on a Saturday. It's not in combination with the regular Sunday service. But on the Sunday service, Andrew Gates intends to also make something and make it a special one. So the Saturday one will be entirely dedicated to the window. And we're going to have a curtain. And on one side of the curtain, ready to pull it open, will be a senior member of the church, the bishop, if he can come. On the other side will be the most senior naval officer that comes. And when we're ready, the pull curtain opens up. The curtain will be semi-transparent so that it doesn't block the light, but enough that you can't see the details of the window. And it's going to be gold, a gold color curtain. The navy colors are navy blue and gold, of course. So I think it'll be quite spectacular.
It sounds like it.
And of course we'll sing the naval hymn, and we'll say the naval prayer, and we'll have a bagpiper who leads people in with probably the Canadian flag and the white ensign, that type of thing. We're still working on those details.
Very nice. You talked about the church congregation being the primary audience.
Mm-hmm.
What about future generations as well? What do you hope future generations
I'm
take
hoping
from
there
this?
Will be future generations attending the church. There's still a few naval people get married there. And there's some fairly frequent funerals of retired naval people. And there's the odd baptism of a naval family. And I keep running into people around town when I mention St. Paul's of the window. They say, oh yes, my father was married there, or my grandmother was buried there, or something like that.
What message, say if a young person's looking at the window in decades from now, what message do you hope they take away from it?
That's my Navy.
A sense of pride?
Yes.
Ownership in the Navy as well?
I'm stealing the designer's thunder a little bit here, but what you have to do is you look at the window and you see these four columns going up. You think about totem poles reaching for the sky. And the totem pole, of course, in British Columbia is very prominent. And then you see these symbols across the four windows in a row here, four or five rows, and you think, if you're in the Navy, ooh, that looks like a convoy of ships. Well, that sort of symbolic thing.
And it's
all against the background of variable blue, which is, of course, the color of the ocean. Yes.
And then for a closer look, they'll have the books.
They'll have the book if they want to say, what's that funny-looking symbol? They can go to the book, and there it is. Yeah.
Yes. Besides yourself, tell me about others in the congregation for whom the window may have a particular meaning.
I think the whole congregation's pretty excited about it, to tell you the truth, even though many of them are not naval. There are other services represented in the congregation. I know there's an army chap who fought in Korea. I know him because I belong to the Korean organization, Korean Veterans Organization. I was out there in one of the destroyers. But I know on Remembrance Day there was one Air Force officer in his uniform still. I think there's probably a fair number of people in the congregation that have served in the military or have had relatives in the military.
It's a strong strong community base.
Oh, yes, yeah. Very much so. Yeah. Very, very active congregation. Very active.
And are you involved with any other activities to mark the Navy centennial?
No. I was asked to be on the committee looking after the homecoming statue, but I figured I had enough on my plate.
And you talked before about how long the whole process has taken. When did it start?
We established, I made the proposal to the church in September 07, I think it was. And we started fundraising in March of 08. That's when we had our launching ceremony in the wardroom. And we had pretty well our funds raised by Christmas of 08. So 09 is getting the design approved and getting the details of the dedication ceremony set up, that sort of thing.
So you reached your goal, fundraising goal, fairly quickly then?
Well, fairly quickly, yes. Yeah. I say we managed to get 370 donations.
Will you carry on with donations as well?
We haven't closed. We had two ways of donating, I should say. One was by check, and one was by on the internet. We set up a web page for the window, which was looked at quite a bit, and you could donate through the web. But we cut that off because, it's more costly than just having a web page that's not secure, or that's secure rather. So now it's by check only.
Right.
Yeah.
And what have you got there?
I don't know whether you saw that or not in the local paper. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. Well, this is the homecoming statue.
That's the homecoming statue, basically, but I think there's a mention in there of the window. This is what roughly what the invitation will look like when we send it out to our 100 and so people.
So there'll be a reception afterwards at the Naden Ward
Room? Oh, yes. The church is very handy for that sort of thing.
Very nice.
Here's something for your car, if you'd like to help us advertise.
Yes, thank you.
That's
1910 to 2010.
That's the centennial logo, of course.
Yes, very good.
I guess the biggest thing going on here next year will be the fleet assembly. In June the 9th, for 3 or 4 days. I think there'd be something like 20 or 30 ships anchored off railroads, and 10,000 sailors rampaging around town.
And what will you do during that? Like, will you participate in anything?
I'll get involved in some of the things going on. Oh, absolutely. There are going to be special shows going on and parades and Freedom of the City, all sorts of things. I've got a list here of it all.
Nice.
Okay, any more on the window?
I was wondering, you talked about the symbolism. Are there other symbols that may be used in the window?
I'll find my list here somewhere. There'll be such things as the Fisgard Lighthouse, which has been guiding our ships into harbor for 100-something years. There'll be the White Ensign and the Canadian flag, because the change from the White Ensign to the Canadian flag occurred with, excuse my language, unification. St. Nicholas, I think, is the patron saint of one of the patron saints of seafarers. He was always represented by three golden spheres, so that'd probably been there. Sackville, HMCS Sackville, the Navy Memorial on the East Coast, or National Naval Memorial. You're familiar with Sackville?
I'm not familiar with
okay.
it. No. Tell me more about it.
It's the last remaining corvette in the world, and the corvettes, of course, were absolutely vital in the Battle of the Atlantic. And Sackville has been located in Halifax and has been in the process of being restored to its original wartime configuration. It's really worth a visit if you ever go there. And the other ship, which we still have in Canada, is HMCS Haida, which is in London, Ontario. And it is the last remaining tribal class destroyer from World War II. I served aboard that one, as a matter of fact, right? So their ship's badges will certainly be in the window. Navy nurse badge, merchant navy badge, which is so important in World War II. Badges for the different ranks. Here's an interesting one. One of the major convoy routes was from Newfoundland to Londonderry, and the symbol of Londonderry is an oak tree. Okay, and the pitcher plant is a symbol for Newfoundland. So the pitcher plant and the oak tree will both be in the window. Things like that. And then, of course, we get to things like divers' helmets, Sambro Lighthouse on the East Coast. There's a flag hoist in the window, Bravo Zulu, which means well done. That'll be in the window. Oh, yes, and there's also going to be a little Morse code message. I'm not going to tell you what it means because people have got to find out for themselves.
Okay. And what about other cultural groups, First Nations or Japanese veterans? Any particular effort to make
no,
groups
because
feel included?
In the naval history, I don't think the Aboriginal community or the Japanese community have, to my knowledge, had much to do with the Navy. Certainly in my 38 years in the Navy, and I don't recall being involved. More so now, of course, they are, yeah.
And let's go to ask, yesterday was Remembrance Day.
Yes.
And I wonder if you could tell me how you personally spent the day.
My wife and I do the same thing every Remembrance Day. We go to the Cenotaph in Oak Bay. And I'm very interested to see how the crowds have increased over the years. We've been going there now since, when I retired, we went to live in the Bahamas for 4 years. I came back, we started going to the Oak Bay Cenotaph. And the crowds, since, when was that? 1987. The crowds since 1987, I suppose, have doubled and tripled and quadrupled in numbers. It's really amazing.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the Afghan war. People thoughts are involved much more with the sacrifices that the people in the service are making these days. That's probably a lot to do with it.
I noticed in England they were also commemorating the passing of the veterans from the First World War.
Yes, the last one, yes, and we've still got one in Canada, I gather. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how do you think when the World War II veteran generation passes, do you think that will affect attendance at Remembrance Day or the way people perceive it?
I think it probably will. For example, when all the veterans from World War II disappear, there'll be no veterans on parade. I belong to the Korean Veterans Association of Canadian Korean veterans, and because we've got no further input from the Korean veterans, I would suggest in 5 or 10 years, the Korean Veterans Associations will disappear. Oh, yeah.
And then just one last question. You talked about funding. You didn't want any government funding?
No.
Why was that?
Not any government funding. Too many problems associated with government funding. And it's not the sort of thing that governments like to support anyway.
Too many rules to follow if
they're
involved?
Oh, that type of thing. Oh, yeah. Bureaucratic nonsense.
You felt you could get it done more quickly and efficiently.
Oh yes.
Without them.
And the government would say, all right, here's $10,000 or something, and then forget about it. I've got 370 people who've made a donation, and they'll remember it.
Yes, it's meaningful to
sure,
them.
Sure, it's meaningful to them.
Right.
Right. I'll tell you a story. Mm-hmm. About halfway through the fundraising, I got a phone call from a woman asking me about the window, which she'd heard about it. And so I told her about the window and its purpose and that sort of thing. And she said, my husband, who died last year, was a master seaman in the Navy. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. And she said, I would like to donate $2,000. I thought, a master seaman's widow is going to donate $2,000. So I said to her, oh, my dear, I mean, that's a large amount for you. How can you afford that? Are you sure? She said, well, we were saving for a holiday, and this is our holiday money.
That shows the deep connection that
people right,
feel.
That's right, sure.
Yeah.
And there's other people like that, too.
Right. Yeah. And the importance of being involved in something of a permanent nature
yeah.
like that.
Oh, yeah.
Permanent memorial.
That's something I stress with people. Here's a permanent memorial. As opposed to a parade, which is over in a couple of hours, or a fleet assembly, which is over in 3 days, or whatever. Yeah. Yes.
What happened to the memorial that was outside that listed the names that we spoke about
I
earlier?
Don't know. I asked about that, and I haven't had an answer. I think it just went from neglect. It's kind of sad.
It's a nice thing about the window is it's secure window, within a building.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
You're very welcome.
I've got the release form from
Sign
the University
form.
Of Victoria, and you can sign at the bottom here, and then I'll be signing just under you there.
Yep. Yeah.
That's wonderful, thank you. And I'll really look forward to visiting the window. I'll go after it's dedicated
okay,
in May,
you, yes.
and I'll see the window.
Of course, the window once it's done and we've had the dedication, the web page will change to show the new window.
Yes.
So anybody who lives away in England or Northern Ireland, they can actually see it, which will be nice. I'll send them emails drawing their attention to the change.
Yes, very good.
I mean, without the computer, I don't think I could have raised the necessary money. It's just fabulous what you can do with a computer, as you know.
You can reach so many people so
oh,
quickly.
Oh, yeah, right. Emails and everything else. You can find addresses. You know, Joe Blow, where is he? Go to the internet and you can find his address.
And more cost-effective than sending
yes.
all of that
oh,
mail.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you once again.
Thank you
very
for
much.
Coming. Okay. And I take my hat off to somebody who's doing the sort of thing that you're doing.
Thank you.
Okay.